This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, we have done it. We have survived the week. And of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And it is a great day. The deportations are underway. Loads of illegals getting thrown onto planes, sent back from where they came. It is glorious. We will talk about that tonight. How's the American public's appetite for that going? What happened to Jewish producer Chris's mustard he was supposed to be bringing into the studio? Constitutional amendments for a third term? Why are we bothering with this kind of idiocy? All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to begin here with something amazing. I woke up this morning, rolled over, did the same thing you did, rolled over, grabbed my phone, and saw what was in the news as I was shaking the cobwebs out of my head. And right away, I see C-130s, big planes, big military planes, I'll put it that way, big military planes being loaded up with illegals going home. And I got this email. I got, "Dear Jesse, should we be critical of how slow the deportations are going yet? Tom Holman seems to brag about deporting 300 illegals. That's a sad number to brag about. We only have 730 days to get done. How do we help out?" So on and so forth. Okay. Tom Holman continues what he's been doing, which is very, very smart. He's staying in the media, staying on the news. Part of the reason we haven't lost control of the narrative yet is we are staying on the news, giving the American people updates about what we're doing.
I can tell you right now, Chris, is we arrested 1,300 people. Over 1,000 of them were criminals. Who are the other ones? They're either fugitives who've been through immigration court in order to remove but didn't leave and became a fugitive, or collaterals. Where did the collateral arrests happen? In sanctuary cities, because they forced us into the community. But we are concentrating on public safety threats first. And it just makes sense. I don't care if a Republican, a Democrat, independent, why not let law enforcement go into a county jail, a taxpayer county jail, to arrest a guy that you locked in a jail cell? So obviously he's a public safety threat. That would solve a lot of this problem.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because it's a very fair question. You can be mad at that guy because it's going well and we're happy and things like that, but what he asks is a very fair question. When you consider just in the last 4 years alone, we'll call the number 20 million. Trump said 21. Some people think 30. I've seen 10, but whatever. We'll call it 20 just for the sake of argument. We're not going to know. 20 million. We have 4 years to get 20 million people out. And that only gets us back to where we started with Joe Biden. Remember, we have, pick a number, 30, 40 million before Joe Biden walked in. We're probably looking at a 60, 70 million person deportation effort. When you look at the numbers, that's 15% of the country, give or take. It's a lot. And so you're looking at these numbers, 1,300 people arrested. We got some 300 here, 200 there. And you're asking, is it enough? Well, a couple things. One, the American people of this generation, if you go clear back to the 60s and whatnot, you've seen similar things like this. But the American people of this generation have never, ever experienced mass deportation, a government-focused effort
to massively deport people, one that they are bragging about, meaning the government is bragging about it, one that is being reported on the news. This is not something the American people of this generation have ever experienced in their lifetime. I am 43. I started getting political when I was 24, 25. Okay, so about 20 years of politics for me. I certainly have never seen it. I've never seen anything like this before. They are getting the American people eased into what is new. That is one. Two, they are knocking down initially the easy and obvious stuff as they get the American people accustomed to mass deportations. You know, there's Sun Tzu. Obviously, everyone knows who Sun Tzu is, the Chinese war philosopher, right? Everyone, Sun Tzu, he's the one who wrote that book, The Art of War. Everyone's read that, or at least everyone knows of The Art of War. You've probably glanced at it. It's a fascinating book with a bunch of little sayings in there. But one of the sayings that I love to try to drill into the head of my boys when we're playing Risk or something like that is, do not attack what is strong, attack what is weak. Meaning, if I have five territories heavily fortified, and I have one with just, you know, one little piddly army on there, don't throw your forces up against the wall I have built. Go break off a territory, one you can do easily. In so doing, you gain momentum, you gain strength, and you weaken me a little. I want every single person in this country who is here illegally to be deported. Not just the violent criminals, just all of them. Every single one of them. Men, women, children, I don't give a crap. If you are here, go home. That's what I want. Hopefully that's what you want. But no matter what, initially, what they have, what ICE has in their possession already is tons and tons and tons of names and locations of individuals, felons, who are here, who have just simply been luxuriating here because Democrats want violent criminals in your country, your state, in your community. Democrats brought all these people in, and not only that, they knew all these people were here and knew exactly where they were. That's how they're getting to so many of these people in the first 3-4 days. Democrats knew it and wanted them here. Democrats want violent criminals in your community. Period. End of story. It's not arguable anymore. So, back to what we were saying. Is it being done fast enough? Well, no. It will have to be faster. It will have to ramp up from here. If it's 300 this day and then 200 that day, that's progress. It's not enough. But let's give them a bit of a grace period as they knock out the easy stuff, as they get the American people accustomed to a brand new way of immigration enforcement, one they are not familiar with. You know, look, this is me. You know I'd be screaming and yelling and criticizing if I was seeing things I disliked, if I thought that they were screwing us over, going back on promises. I am floored. I'm so impressed so far with how many promises they very obviously intend to keep. Trump hasn't backed off of any of it. It's nothing like before. None of it. He's doubling down, tripling down. He's all in. Could let him run. Right now, they're running the right direction. Is it fast enough? Well, let's talk about that. Is it fast enough? We've had this talk before on the show, but let's talk about it again. No matter what we do, we'll make this purely about immigration, but this applies to really every single issue. No matter what we do on the right as anti-communists, in order to truly save America for our children, their children, and their children after them, what we need is something that is probably out of our control. What we need is a different Democrat Party. And I say that for this reason. If you have one party that's weak and stupid, but occasionally gets its act together and starts cleaning up the mess. That would be the GOP. And the only other alternative, as far as major parties go, is a party that is wholly committed to burning down the country. Then in the end, no matter how far and fast you go, you can never do enough to save it. If Donald Trump puts this mass deportation thing into warp speed, I am extremely doubtful he can get 20 million people out in 4 years. But even if he does, that only takes us back to where we were before Joe Biden got into office. In order to save the United States of America, we must have a Democrat Party that doesn't hate the United States of America. And we don't have that right now. So what we're doing is we're fighting back as hard as we can, trying to keep our head above water and hoping maybe some small semblance of patriotism will return to the Democrats. I don't know. A couple more words on that, then we're moving on to other things. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we're going to continue on. I've already knocked one out. We're going to continue on in a moment. We're just talking for a moment about, you know, immigration. Is it going fast enough? And what I just explained, in case you're just now joining us, is all this stuff is good, and we're going the right way, and we're fixing things, and that is awesome, and we should be happy, man. You should be happy right now. I am happy right now. But on a macro level, on a 30,000-foot view level, to truly save the country, we need something that is likely out of our control. We need a different Democrat Party. I'm not saying we need them to be Republicans or Libertarians or Nationalists or whatever. There's always going to be an opposite political party. There just always is. That's the way human nature works. But what we cannot survive long term is what we have now. We cannot survive long term as a country when one of the two major political parties, when half of our political parties hate the country and want it destroyed. You can't survive in that way because you can't ever clean up the mess in its entirety. I've used this analogy before. We'll move on to some other questions here. But I've used this analogy before of we're sharing a house. We have a roommate. Let's say it's me and Chris, me and Jewish producer Chris. So we got bagels and whatnot. It's hard to find anything else that's decent. But I love the house. I want the house to be better. Hey, maybe we should lay some sod in the backyard. The living room could use a fresh coat of paint. I treasure the house. Chris, who lives there with me, hates it. Thinks it sucks. He wants to burn it down. I come home from work. Of course, Chris won't have been at work, just be lazy. I walk in and he's in the kitchen trying to light the kitchen on fire. Can I stop him? Well, yeah, hopefully. Get the fire extinguisher, put out the fire, hopefully, yeah. Can I stop him? Okay, good, I just stopped him. Okay, I just cleaned up this mess and that mess. But on a long enough timeline, am I going to be able to stop Chris from destroying a house? If I love it and he wants to destroy it, how can I stop him? What we need long-term is a different Democrat Party. Listen to these people. What we've seen in the last 4 or 5 days has been the deportation of child rapists. You realize that? The worst people on the planet have been deported over the last 4 or 5 days. Here's Ilhan Omar.
The Trump administration's immigration policy is a threat to immigrants like criminals.
What did she just say? Listen to this. This is some tranny teacher saying, don't come for any of the illegals in my class.
ICE can now raid classrooms. And as a high school teacher, I just want to make one thing clear. If someone tries to come in my classroom and take one of my students, one of us isn't leaving the classroom. Play with me.
Sounds good. Anyway, that we have to fix. All right, let's get on to some other questions. Jesse. Why are these senators trying to introduce a constitutional amendment for a Trump third term? It will never happen. Is it just to suck up to Trump? Okay. So let's talk about politics, the GOP politics as they are. Right now, obviously, Donald Trump is the most popular Republican in America by a large margin, by a comfortable margin. He's the most popular one in America. But I'm gonna pause on that for a moment, and I'm gonna go back to a piece of audio I played for you. I think it was either this week or last week, of Mike Johnson. Now, Mike Johnson is currently Speaker of the House. He was Speaker of the House. So, I mean, meaning he's been Speaker of the House for quite some time. And this interview he was doing, Barry Weiss, whatever your name is, it was Joe Biden. I think he had 2 or 3 days left in his presidency. So this was before the inauguration, but right before the inauguration when Mike Johnson sat down and had this talk. And in this talk, Mike Johnson, as you will hear, revealed that he found out some time ago, that Joe Biden was so non-functional, he was signing executive orders and didn't know what they
were. Real quickly, Mr. President, can I ask you a question? I cannot answer this from my constituents in Louisiana. Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, you know, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him, you know. And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order, like, you know, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, no, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing to, we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it. I know. I have the terminal, the export terminals in my state. I talked to those people this morning. This is doing massive damage to our economy, national security. It occurred to me, Barry, he was not lying to me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed. And I walked out of that meeting with fear and loathing because I thought, we're in serious trouble. Who is running the country? Like, I don't know who put the paper in front of him, but he didn't know.
The Speaker of the House sat down with the President of the United States of America, asked the President about an executive order he'd signed that really altered the world, as you just heard. It changed things in Europe, in Russia. It changed the United States of America. A world-altering signature. And the Speaker of the House, after he sat down with the President of the United States of America and found that out, did what now? Let's talk about that and as how it relates to your question in a moment. Before we get to that, obviously, whenever we talk about Joe Biden, we start to think about the fact that our loved ones aren't going to be around forever. We understand that people do get old. You know, your dad does die. It sucks. It is. But I will tell you this, as somebody who's recently gone through it, you really want those pictures on your phone, on your computer, on your iPad. You want those videos, those VHS tapes. Believe me when I tell you, you want them on your phone immediately. You should be doing that now. The baby pictures you have, you need to digitize those. The VHS camcorder tapes you have, you need to digitize those. Let Legacy Box do this for you. It's honestly, it's hands-free. You don't do anything. They send you a box. You put the stuff in the box and just send it to them. And they do it all for you. Do that now before your heart is aching. Believe me when I tell you that. LegacyBox.com/Jesse saves you 50%. Go. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Reminding you, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. So the question was, why are these senators trying to introduce some ridiculous amendment to give Trump a third term? It won't pass. Is this just sucking up to Trump? So I paused on that. I'm going to come back to it. I'm coming back to it in a roundabout way. I played the audio. I'm not going to play it again of Mike Johnson. While Joe Biden was still president, but almost done. He was 2 or 3 days left. And Mike Johnson sits down for a podcast interview, and he explains to this podcaster that Joe Biden was passing executive orders that altered global economies, ours, Europe's, Russia's, and he didn't know what they were. And after leaving that meeting, he was just stunned. Wow, who's running the country? Okay. So you're the Speaker of the House. What did you do when you discovered the President of the United States of America is not only not a functional adult, but people, evil people around him, are taking advantage of him and doing horrific things to the country, and they're doing this because he's not functional? What did you do about that back when you found it out? Not 2 days before Trump takes over. What did you do about that? Do you remember that press conference? Hey, Chris, Corey, I know we have a bunch of audio and stuff like that on the show. Could you do me a favor? Could you dig up a single public statement from Mike Johnson, a press conference, a quote given to anybody? Or you know what? Let's get more serious here. How about immediately calling Congress together because you just walked out of the Oval Office and found out the President of the United States of America is not only not operating at a full tank, evil people are using him. Did you call Congress together and immediately call for the 25th Amendment? Did you immediately impeach him in order to save the American people? Did you do any of those things? No, you did not. You sat on all this information until 2 days before Donald Trump was going to be sworn in, and then you revealed this information to a podcaster as if you're just some kind of internet commentator who never had any power whatsoever to do any of this at all. Now, it made for a great soundbite, sounds good on the radio. Where were you when we needed you? We needed you back when he was not functional and the commies around him were screwing this country. That's when we needed you. 2 days before Trump sworn in. It's too late. And yet, that's when we heard from you. Why? Well, this is going to come back to this constitutional amendment thing. We want our representatives in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, we want the people who go to Washington, we want them to be leaders. That's really what we're asking for. I understand they're servants of the people and stuff like that, but no, they need to go take a critical leadership role. If I am appointing an advocate of any kind, if I want Ob to start buying the good peanut butter again, and I gather a group of people together, and we decide we're going to send one person to go to Ob and advocate that she buys the good peanut butter again. And not only the creamy stuff, I want some extra crunchy in the house. And we decide, okay, you know what? Corey's going to be the one, and he's going to go to Ob, and he's going to advocate on my behalf. Well, Corey, I expect him to be bold. I expect him to take a leadership role because he's the only advocate I have. And so we look at our senators and our House of Representatives people like that. We want them to be leaders, but they're not leaders. They're gutless loser cowards who only go whichever way the wind blows. And why are you watching United States senators waste all of our freaking time talking about constitutional amendments to give Donald Trump a third term? Because these weak, useless cowards, they all know Donald Trump is the most popular Republican in the country. They've licked their finger, they've stuck it in the air, and now they know the best way to get reelected again is to kiss Donald Trump's butt every single possible way in the most clownish, ridiculous ways humanly possible because it makes you look like a Trump guy. You see this all over the television, too. You hear it all over the radio, too. The radio guy who doesn't have anything interesting to say, he couldn't crack a funny joke if his life depended on it. His ratings were in the toilet. But you know what's guaranteed ratings and what'll probably keep you on the air for as long as you can? Trump, 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 MAGA, 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 Trump, 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 Trump. Guaranteed to keep you on the air. You're never going to be a superstar. Because people can see through that and it smells and they leave. But it's enough to get you there. It's enough to keep you there, I should say. Trump is a phenom in an industry to himself. And if a lot of people like, or people who see that, which is most people, they will try to get into his orbit because it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. And you see this, I should note, you see this from the left. Jewish producer Chris just brought up Stephen Colbert. It's actually a very good point. The left does the same thing from the opposite way. If you're super boring, you just don't have anything interesting to say. Brian Stelter, Joyanne Reed, Jim Acosta. If you're one of these people who doesn't necessarily, you don't bring anything unique, there's no reason to tune in. Will you understand this? In the same way I was just making fun of the radio guys or politicians who do it, you understand that you can sit down and you can get enough eyes and ears to stay on the air if you just rage against Trump 24 hours a day. Every single day, the whole thing is Trump's the devil, Trump's the devil, Trump's the devil, Trump's the devil. Again, he's such a phenom. His orbit is so big. He's so big that even hatred of him means money, can keep you on the air. That's why. It's obnoxious. It's awful, honestly. Jesse, you recently talked about the American public being more resistant to propaganda than in years past. How long does the American public's resolve have to unwaver in regards to mass deportation for the legacy media to give up? I get that the American communist is unrelenting, but there has to be a breaking point. Okay, that's a very good question. Right now, we're watching the Democrat Party and the American media obviously joining together like they are together, like they always are. We are watching them attempt to get America against mass deportation. But the attempts are not working. And I've played for you how many bits of audio from even CNN, these places where they're polling the American public. And even after the mass deportations have begun, the American public loves it. It's not only a Republican thing either. Republicans adore it. Independents adore it. And last time I checked, it was 55% of Democrats liked it. So they're failing right now at whipping up the public into a frenzy the way they are. Your question is, do they give up? No, they cannot give up. They don't give up because they can't. They will never give that up. The mass importation of disloyal foreigners is a central plank of American communism. In fact, all Western civilization, all the Western countries who've been infected with communism, America, the UK, Germany, Canada, all of them, France especially, all of them, a central plank of the communist strain in those countries is the mass importation of foreign barbarians. They are not ever, 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 ever going to give that up, because without that, they have no chance whatsoever. The entire movement is built on it. I'll expand on that in a minute. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, Parallel Parking Jesse, reminding you need to go to iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, and download the podcast if you miss any part of the show. Don't forget to leave a 5-star rating, subscribe, and leave a review talking about how massive my hands are. Back to what we were discussing. The guy asked a question of the American public has so far been resistant to the propaganda against mass deportation. Does the American media, do they eventually give up on that propaganda effort? No. And let me explain this. The Roman army, the ancient Roman army. Armies have a central thing they build everything around. So like a Mongolian army would be horses, horse archers. For the ancient Roman army, the central part of their army for most of its existence was heavy infantry. And so that kind of warfare back then, there's heavy infantry. There's kind of lighter infantry. They won't have as much armor, but they move better. There are intermediate intermediate, how do I want to describe this? I'll call it a javelin people, but intermediate people, where they can't shoot as far as the archers, but then there are archers, but then there's light cavalry, there's heavy cavalry. These are the basic troop types you'll find no matter where you go for the ancient world. But for the Roman military, the central part of the military was the heavy infantry guy. Okay? Now, from there, they knew they had to diversify. They had to be able to fight in different kinds of terrain. You have to be able to go up into the mountains of France and fight in the winter. You have to go into the desert and fight the Parthians. You're going to have to be able to fight on the shore. You're going to have to be able to fight in the jungle. You're going to have to be... They understood that. So they needed different parts of their army. But all the parts of their army they brought in and trained, or mercenaries, all of them were brought in to orbit the central part of their army, which is the heavy infantry. So we bring in the cavalry. What for? Just in case they have cavalry, we can put our infantry, our heavy infantry here, and then ours can guard the flanks and keep them up. But it's still, everything is designed around the heavy infantry guy. And as a military commander, you know that. That's my anchor. That's my rock. That's my sun. Everything will orbit around that. For Western communism in the modern era, it is so despicable that the central part of it is unending mass migration of peoples from other parts of the globe. It is not a side item. I'll be honest with you right now, and I'm sorry for all you feminists listening. Lots of the parts of it you think are central are really not. Feminism is a side item. That's something they'll toss out there to the lady with the little crew cut. It's not central to it. They want her on board. It's not central to it. The central part of Western civilization is the mass importation of disloyal foreigners. Because only that gives them enough power to replace the patriotic American citizen or Canadian citizen or wherever this is happening. Only the mass importation of foreigners gives them the numbers they need to replace the patriotic citizen with somebody who will vote for them just because they brought them into the country, gave them a free hotel room and some pupusas. Only mass migration keeps the Western civilization communist in power. It is not a side issue. It is the central issue that keeps these people in power and guarantees them more power. They must have it. So, no, they will not give up their propaganda or resistance efforts to the mass deportation of foreigners. They may be a little quiet right now. I know they're trying to offer some resistance, but they may not be screaming as loudly as they will be because the Trump administration is prioritizing rapists and murderers and things like that. And now you'll get the Ilhan Omars of the world who will still defend those people. But for the most part, most elected Democrats and even media people, they can read the tea leaves. Probably shouldn't defend the Haitian gangbanger who's got like 17 felonies. I guess they'll I have the guy. Don't I have the guy on here, Chris? He's here somewhere. I should have marked it probably. We should start doing some prep for the show. This guy. Probably best if you don't put him on the campaign ads.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
Probably doesn't look great on the Democrat campaign ads, but they will not back off on this issue. They will not surrender on this issue. They are feeling the pressure majorly. Why do you think Klaus Schwab is currently talking like this at the World Economic Forum?
Care for the next generation fails. We risk depending into self-serving and short-sighted behaviors that undermine collective progress and lead to profound societal and political change.
What's he talking about? What self-serving behaviors? What progress? Klaus Schwab and the others understand that Western civilization is pushing back against the mass importation of foreigners. The progress he's talking about is the watering down of the patriotic citizen. And he's in a very subtle way scolding all of us. Stop giving a crap about a few rapes and murders. We've made so much progress. We've done so much to destroy Western civilization. Why are you worried about Lake and Riley? Don't you understand what we're doing? They will not give up this issue, especially because they have lost normal people now, too. Not just people like you and me. They didn't have us. But normal people are rejecting this stuff. Have you seen the tranny numbers? I'm not going to play it for you again, but we played a soundbite for you. I think it was this week about it. The public, we may have reached peak tranny. The public's done. All of them. Everyone thinks, oh, okay, all right, it's weird and it's gross. Let's walk away from this whole thing. They have siloed themselves into a place of insanity, and only the foreigner who's been bribed, only he can keep these people in power. They'll never give it up. All right, let's talk about Chris and his mustard. Let's talk about Republican primaries. Let's talk about many things. Before we get to that, let's get to your dog. Your dog and his nutrition. Well, really, your dog and his life. What's worse than losing your dog? We've all been there. I've buried more of them than I can count, and it still hurts thinking about it. Those fluffy idiots become part of your family. I'm going to push that day as far away from me as humanly possible. That's why I give Fred Ruff Greens. All natural nutritional supplement. I sprinkle it on his food. I don't have to change his food or anything like that. But I know that he doesn't get any nutrition in that food unless I give him Ruff Greens with it. Well, his coat gets dull, his joints hurt, his stomach's a mess. Empty calories every meal. That's what it'll do. That's what it'll do for you. You want to try it? They have it for your cat, too. They have Meow Greens. It's not just Ruff Greens. They have Meow Greens. Free Jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.